This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 26, 2009.
If I had a Jewish grandmother, she'd be proud.
What?
Yeah, right, son?
Oh, Greg. So proud. Italians are
all
awesome.
Good evening, everyone.
Where's my agenda?
It's 4:46 p.m., March 26, 2009. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Here.
Who?
Unexcused.
Not present. Hines is here. Here.
Miller?
Here.
Here.
Not present. Thank you. Okay. I hope you all had wonderful breaks. I missed you all a lot. First item on the agenda, approval of the minutes from February 26th and March 5th, 2009. We'll do February 6th, 2009 first.
Motion to approve.
There's been a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? The minutes have been approved. The approval of the minutes from March 5th, 2009. I'm going to call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? All right, they've been approved as well. Next, we have open microphone. Anyone in the audience that would like to bring anything to the SA's attention that is not currently on the agenda? Here's your opportunity to do so now. Well set. Great. Moving right on to announcements and reports. We have a Committee on Transfer Affairs announcement by Representative Brockman.
Foundation to eight different schools. What the purpose of
college students a way to achieve a great education, in this case, a unique education. And currently, the grant is for $800,000. That's to run out in 4 years. And we are now investigating what other schools who receive grant money are doing with once their money runs out with their programs. We're also adopting some of their ideas for the transfer orientation process at large. As for transfer orientation, COTA is adding 12 events. Yeah, that's 12 events for transfer, transfer-specific events for orientation, in addition to the mere two events that the orientation committee has scheduled. These events include an info session with representatives from Gannett, Recreation Services, Student Support, et cetera, et cetera. An intro to Greek life to transfers, a s'mores roast, a movie night, college town lunch, a scavenger hunt, a discovery day session for CODA to ensure longevity, a transfer breakfast on West Campus, a transfer dinner on West Campus with professors, a resume writing workshop, possibly a transfer Olympics, and a night out in college town, although that may not be official.
Okay, Andrew, thank you very much. I know. The Committee on Transfer Affairs and yourself have been very proactive about all these issues, so thank you. Open it up for questions. Any questions for Andrew at all? Okay. Thank you again for that update. We have a Residential and Community Life Committee announcement by Representative Kumar.
Thank you. So, first of all, the off-campus housing office sponsored a emergency assistant attorney general a couple weeks ago. To talk about tenants' rights and responsibilities. They were having a little bit of difficulty advertising, so that's something that our committee will be taking up next week, is to talk about ways that maybe the student assembly and our committee can help the off-campus housing office advertise for us and just get the word out about all the events that we're doing off-campus housing. In terms of on-campus housing, I'm sure you guys have been hearing from your peers as well as reading the pronouns on the past few weeks about the housing lottery and issues related to that. And I know there's a lot of students concerned about that. So that's what we spent the bulk of our time last week talking about within the committee. Basically talking about that our resolutions, like we passed 2 weeks ago and our RFC also passed, relating to a scaled housing rate, how we can kind of use that and that move forward to create bigger changes in the housing lottery system. Basically right now we're at the stage of just information gathering. So we're going to, I'll be meeting with the on-campus, the campus on folks sometime this week to talk about ways to get feedback from especially freshmen about how the housing lottery works. We'll be conducting some info sessions and feedback sessions. So, if you have any ideas about how our committee can best get feedback about the housing lottery, or if you have ideas about the lottery and stuff, I know I've gotten a couple of responses so far. So just feel free to shoot me an email and we'll focus on it.
Great, thank you. Did you also say the housing rates issue, is that in its fact-finding stage that we said?
No. We're just trying to figure out how to, first of all, we're trying to figure out how to go to campus like that.
Okay.
You want to know that in
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Nikhil? Okay. We have a.
Oh, he doesn't want it? No.
No dining committee announcement. They're all set. Quick elections. Mike isn't here, right? Quick elections wrap up. Congratulations to all those who have been voted on to the 09. To the 2010 academic year student assembly. Particularly congratulations to Rami and Ola, who's in the audience there. We can do another round right now. Yeah. So we're excited, and the current leadership will get started in participating in the transition. On that note, we have a quick announcement. I'll just hand it over to Rami about announcement about internal elections for all those that have changed to.
Sure. Before that, there's going to be a conference with the SUNY Students Assembly. It's going to be the weekend of April 17th to 19th. And for the size of Cornell, we get two votes.
So I'm planning to go, but I'd appreciate, you know, any of you are over that weekend. I'm planning to drive up. It's going to be in Rochester. They're really excited to have us, and I'm sure VP Miller and President Robin can attest to that because they sent us about two emails today.
No, that's an understatement.
So just let me know if you're interested in attending that. So next week on Monday from 5 to 7 p.m. is going to be the newly elected member orientation session / internal election, and we're going to be deciding on basically everything except the committee positions and the director of elections. And just for anyone's information, the director of elections position can be held by a member of the student assembly or just a member of the undergraduate body at large. So if anyone's interested, if you know anyone interested, let them know. They can, you know, come to the meeting this week after.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. And I think you had mentioned you'll work with Nikki in getting maybe an email out and over. Great. Any questions for Rami? Okay. We have a textbook price announcement by VP Basil.
Yeah, this is something that I looked into when I was the UA liaison last year, but there's actually been some new developments this past week. The faculty members turn in their book lists to the Cornell store, which orders textbooks for all the classes sometime during the summer. If faculty members could do that in the spring instead, it would pretty dramatically bring down the cost of textbooks. This was something that the faculty resisted to pretty strongly because it would involve them being more proactive and all that kind of stuff. But basically, there's been some... I'm sorry, I take that off the record. There's been some more developments this spring about faculty members being more willing to educate themselves about this issue. So I'm going in front of the Faculty Senate on their April 8th meeting to talk about academic integrity, but I'm also going to bring this issue up. If there's further work, I'd really like to work with someone else in the Assembly on this issue. So I guess if you're interested in textbook prices, come talk to me at some point in the next couple weeks. I'd love to bring up to speed fully and work with you in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions for Chris? Yes.
In terms of the background of this issue, was it a matter of them sending it months in advance of when they have to right now, or just a couple of weeks?
I think it's a matter of about 2 months, I'd say. I think it's basically there are about 10 suppliers for textbooks. And we can compete for bids because we're so large and get, you know, optimal prices. But the later we wait into the summer, the you know, worse it gets for us. So I think it's a matter of April instead of June, for example, or you know, May instead of, you know. So, yeah. Yeah, Asa?
Can I go off of that as well?
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah.
So we discussed this, I think, about maybe 2 meetings ago at the University Assembly when the representatives from the Cornell store came to us and gave a presentation about their book prices and basically how the store is operating. Really what's going along with being able to compete for very different prices from different competitors, the issue is that if we have book lists earlier, then the Cornell store can secure used books for students, more used books for a lot of classes, and they can keep books instead of having to ship them back to the whatever company they use, that they would be able to buy more of those. And the issue is that if people submit their, as Chris said, their book list in August, it's too late to pretty much get any type of cheap book, and everything else is really expensive. So that's really expensive.
Any further questions?
Just sort of on that little bit of a tangent. At your next meeting to bring this up, this is something I've noticed that really bothers me. The Cornell store every few weeks has these vendors in that sell fake handbags, and I just think that's really wrong, seeing as how it's copyrighted and it's illegal. And perhaps you could bring that up. Yeah, it's really terrible.
Who do they?
Fake Prada, fake Louis Vuitton.
I
know. It's really despicable.
All right.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
The guy told me I could get a great deal.
All right. Any further questions for any of our UA delegates? Okay. I have one last announcement before we move on to business of the day. Go ahead, Representative Andrews.
I got an email from Kathy Fahey, who did a presentation in the facilities office. And she is looking for one student volunteer
director
who will essentially be a communications liaison between the student assembly on the body and her office. She sent me an email like Thursday before spring break and said it's an average spring break. And so if you're interested, talk to me.
Does it have to be preferably someone from the SA?
She preferably wants to be from the SA, okay. Preferably from the communications committee. It doesn't actually, the communications is more specific than SA.
Oh.
But I think any should be happy with any communications.
Okay. All right. So work with Nikki and Tony and staff in that. Great. Any further announcements before I have one last one? Okay, just quickly, because we will have a future discussion on this. In regards to the Collegetown Urban Plan and Design Guidelines, I anticipate a question later with President Scorton, so I did want to keep you up to date as much as I can. In a nutshell, and I see Kate there in the audience, so if she wants to chime in at any time, she's been involved with this project. I don't know, perhaps it was a year ago, I'm not sure the exact timeline, but the university and the city of Ithaca both contributed each $90,000 each to hire an outside consulting planning firm to put together what is now called the Collegetown Urban Plan and Design Guidelines. And the document is done, official made and published. And once Svante Myrick, who's basically the student city councilman on the city of Ithaca's Common Council, will be coming in to give a brief presentation about it. You will all get a copy. Essentially, it is a plan to change city zoning guidelines and city planning guidelines to allow for specific and strategic development of Collegetown. And this plan has been, again, like I said, it's now official, it's done, it's published, and now has it's basically it's going to go back to city council, but there is some friction, I guess you can call it, from a lot of the permanent residents and most of the representatives on the Common Council, given that they are permanent residents. So there's a good deal of objections to these plans. And basically, in theory, the city and the university, by contributing this money, hired this third-party consulting firm. You know, according to consulting models, I guess you can say, they were this unbiased party that tried to take all factors into account. But now this product is sort of not being able to be pushed through for legislation changes at the city level because of some city resentment and permanent resident resentment. So that's a lot of the Collegetown Neighborhood Council, which that's why we're ending our meeting early today at 6 o'clock at St. Luke's Church. Those meetings, these discussions have been happening at those meetings. They've been happening at a lot of city council committee meetings. And Svante, being the only student on the city council, is really pushing it through sort of on his own and is looking for a lot of university and student support. So that's why we're going to try to attend these meetings more as much as we can, and I have a resolution in front of me that will be introduced to us as soon as Svante gives his presentation, which will be perhaps next week. But it's basically a resolution, a joint resolution, calling for all of the assemblies, in theory representing the entire university, basically in support of this Collegetown Urban Plan and Design Guidelines and urging the City Council to do its duty and now enact the appropriate legislative actions to allow for the development. So that also for those going today, I just want to give you a little bit of background before you went to that meeting in Collegetown. So that's it in a very, very abbreviated version. If anyone has any initial questions, please ask me. But in terms of university involvement, administration involvement, you know, they did give $90,000 to hire this consulting firm, half of what it cost, and basically, you know, hands off since then. But now it looks like we as student representatives might need to ask for more pressure from the university because there is some roadblocks here. Any questions about that? I was sort of hit on that quickly. Okay. Any further announcements before we move on to business of the day? All right, business of the day. Resolution 24, Appendix A changes by VP Mezzi. Deja vu about four times, I think. Hopefully we'll see this through today. Thank you, Mezzi.
All right, so I think Brian had mentioned that we have seen this 4 or 5 times by now already. Now it's nice to see mostly everyone here today. So we can finally vote on this. We met through before.
speaker's list is now open. Representative Salem.
Yeah, I had a question about Representative Dyckhaus' proposed amendment from last night, and I'm glad she too, so she can talk about it. But I was thinking it over with a couple of other assembly members, and I think that a more appropriate place for it would be in Appendix B rather than Appendix A, and I would yield the rest of my time to the chair. You can yield it to her to answer.
All right, you yield it to Emily. Great. Go ahead, Emily. You have 2 minutes. That's all. So, speakers, the amendment is not on the table, just for the record. He's just asking about, I guess, a previous amendment. Speaker's list is still open. D.T. Miller.
I'll call the question.
I'm going to call the question.
Second.
Is there a second? Is there any dissent? See no dissent. VP Mezzi, I'll give you 1 minute closing remarks, and we'll go to vote. Thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll on resolution 24, Appendix A changes.
Yes.
All the passes.
Pass doesn't mean yes.
Yes. So that was Andrews and then
Craig. Baker.
Baker.
Okay. And Craig.
Yes.
You can't pass.
Yes. For Craig.
Twenty to zero to two. Because then I'm the 23rd that doesn't vote yet. Okay. All right. For a minute, that's all right. 20 to 02. Resolution 24 passes. Yay. Now we can get the bylaw funding application process going. Next.
Nothing.
Nothing. So we have a short recess until President Scorton, Dean Hubble's already here. President Scorton is going to be coming at 5:30. Before we have our short recess, I would ask, actually, Kate, would you mind coming up for just a couple minutes? While we're here, might as well have this discussion, just brief discussion about the Cowtown Urban Plan and Design Guidelines. Would you mind giving a brief history about your involvement and then, I guess, where the process is now? That you know at this point?
Yeah.
Great.
The plan has been in the they pretty much had it done at the end of last spring, although throughout the fall and the beginning of the spring, they did revise it with input from the Common Council, and so it's gone through a number of different revisions. And Ryan said that it's finalized at this point. I don't know that for sure.
Well, the document that the consulting firm is now giving to City Council, that's all completed. But now, basically, there are certain portions. For example, the one that was heard at the last CNC meeting was the zoning restriction for how tall buildings can be. As the plan that the consulting firm recommended, there were pretty substantial increases to the limits that developers can, how high they can build. And when it went to committee, they not only decreased it by what it was before, but in some areas decreased it further than it already is, which makes absolutely no sense to me, but that's government. So basically, they're not, it's certain aspects are going back to committee, which in my opinion, in Svante Mark's opinion, I mean, that shouldn't be happening if this really is a document that the consulting firm did this job already, that the City Council should be adopting this and then going from there. And then the transportation aspect, that's going back to City Council's Transportation Committee. So it looks like, unfortunately, we're not only moving backwards, but there's just more obstacles being created to having the certain aspects of this plan being implemented on the city legislative level.
Got it. So, yeah, I haven't followed it yet, what's going on, but I think what would be most useful at this point is that the plan is online, so everyone can access it and read it. And, I did a lot of work with me last year, but Mommy's really been spearheading it and joining the Common Council, and he's put in a ton of time, the only one who's kind of standing alone and is supporting the business owners, not along with the landowners and business owners, but the permanent residents of the business owners are voicing a lot of concerns. So I think it would be really logical to definitely meeting their last to come up with discuss it or the schedule is. But the thing that I would propose that I think would really help the situation is if we can get a list of those meetings from Svante and then have representatives go to each one, so that not one individual or not one small group has to go to all the meetings. They have like three groups that can meet for a couple of hours. So it's a huge time commitment, but that way there would be more of a representation of all the meetings. I think that would have a huge effect.
Yeah, and that's basically exactly what Svante recommended, so we'll look into that. Thank you. Basically, I think what is important is the history. I know you were involved with the history of this plan and the consulting firm, and I think just students getting on the same page that we have to try our best to make sure that City Council is adopting this plan that was supposed to be found friendly to the majority of all communities. Not to mention, College Town is 97% student residents and 3% permanent residents, and permanent residents are, unfortunately, understandably so, they have a lot of attachment to the land and the area, but that's precisely why this consulting firm was brought in, so that it could be unbiased. So that's where we're at, and you'll experience the issue firsthand if you go to the meeting today in College Town. Exactly. And that's the problem. Yeah. Okay. But great. So, any questions? Yeah. Go ahead.
She's looking like red.
Well,
I'm on the queue.
By the park, what is that park called? Bryant Park area. What, for example, one thing, here's an example of how the plan also was looking to positively affect the permanent resident community. Students, as the student body is increasing and more students are living in College Town, a lot live in College Town, they're sort of spreading out. They're going to the Bryant Park areas, and student houses literally are neighbors to families, which, I mean, doesn't make much sense, so what this plan is trying to do is make everyone provide more development in the core. So buildings like, for example, the intersection of Dryden and College Ave, that they want to develop that a lot more than it already is, and that would bring students more into the core. So this would, students want to be around students and in the hub of College Town, and then permanent residents want their communities preserved. That's an example of how the plan addressed that issue. So they do. They just want it all, So.
If you're going to oppose that height restriction in the core, then you're going to have
Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I'm hoping it's next week because obviously time is money. The joint resolution is basically it's saying this, you know, officially on behalf of the entire university, we're looking to get the faculty senate, the GPSA, the university assembly, employee assembly, MESA to sign on to this, and then have the president approve. That's just, you know, tentative plan right now, but and then hand it over. I mean, that you can't get any more official than that. But you're absolutely right. I mean, and it also hits on a lot of town gown issues, so that's why it's a little bit political, and there are, you know, it's less simple than it should be, but that's where we're at. So hopefully we're all able to go later.
One more point, too. Although you should definitely try to contact the council today, there is another meeting tomorrow evening from 9 to 11. One of the Hull Town Landowners owners is holding a little interview session to have the spontaneous action running and moderating the pressure. So if anyone is interested, you know, let me know or let Ryan know and we'll RSVP because I'm going to come into the back. But again, it's just kind of information session. If you have to speak one or the other, it's cool today.
Great. Thanks again, Kate. And we'll, when we bring this up again, either next week or the week after, hopefully we'll be able to come, but I'll let you know. Alright, so we have a very brief test, so it's 5:18 now. We have a 10-minute recess, so you have to be back by 5:28. Like, really. So we're ready to go by when Scorton comes.
I talked to Mark about Scorton, and they're not voting on it until April 17th.
Yeah,
a couple weeks.
Yeah. You know, I just really just shout out to you. I have a job for emailing, you know, but I have so many. I'm sorry. I marked it on open though, because I was on my agenda. Good. I was
going to put it
on my
agenda. What happened with the emails?
You went to the
When I heard that we were going to do it, I was
Oh, are you kidding me? No,
Someone was saying bye to protect books, and there's some way books or
If you know that you can start, if you're not sure exactly how to When you're writing projects,
you're really funny.
Right. Think much more than you can get on pages out of 3. If you have a,
and so then she's like, you are what? And so I respond, well, I respond, sure, I have yoga that we can experiment with.
But I never rewrite.
I passed it out. What is it? Okay.
Tree killer.
Okay, so President Gordon and Tommy Bruce are on their way. VP Communications, Tommy Bruce. In the meantime, did you or any of our UA delegates want to give a brief update, whatever you want to call it, about the Board Safety Resolution?
Oh, we're waiting to get an official copy of the Board Safety Resolution. It's going to be sent out by Kane, probably near the end of this weekend or at some point near thereafter. Student Assembly, because we have a Code of Judicial Conduct, they have developed these sort of regulations that they want us to adopt. A lot of the regulations that we discussed at the previous meeting right before the spring break, from the initial point of view of it was that they're pretty much going to be setting up a lot of arrests for students or JA students for going or near the water. So that is very controversial issue for students, and judging by a lot of conversations that I've had with students, they're not necessarily too happy about this new regulation. Additionally, for the Gordon Committee at our committee, you know, we're trying to do education, so we're sort of at a crossroads with, is this going to affect the Gordon Committee, and how can we sort of get our message out there as well? So what's going to be happening is either the next UA meeting or the meeting after, depending on what we decide at the Faculty Senate meeting, which is the same day when we will discuss the judicial code, like send out the date for everyone. And student summit members, as well as a lot of people, it'd be good to get student representation there, because they're going to need to have student ideas or student concepts of, you know, what we feel about this being code, in the code of judicial conduct, since there'll be potentially a lot of students that could be affected by the new resolutions that will be passed. So I will send that out to the listserv once we get the final resolution, and then I will also invite everyone to connect to UA meeting.
Great, thanks.
And additionally, going along with that, President Scorning and Provost Fox came to our meeting yesterday, sort of had a financial discussion, so we're ready for round two.
Yeah, probably very similar to that. And just to add quickly, when our initial discussions were taking place about board safety, when we met with the city fire chief and the city clerk and all that, the idea of, well, at least the notion that there really is no zero, at least sense of enforcement of the gorges, was something brought up by students, I mean, including myself. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that students think that anyone in the gorge should be arrested. So, you know, we'll want to make sure that, you know, this could be a good idea, but we want it to be a plausible one in the sense that it was aligned with what we originally thought. So, for example, you know, students jumping from cliffs or, you know, in very high danger areas or historically high danger areas, I think that was the history behind this idea of, like, those people should maybe get some sort of police involvement. But certainly not, how it's written, I think now, correct me if I'm wrong, is anyone in these water, now, anyone in or around, whatever it is.
Like around, I forget the exact wording. Again, we can look at everyone's exact wording to send out to us, but initially, just going off what Ryan said, yeah, we sort of, when we started this whole issue, we were going off the understanding that there was no supervision at all, or no policing, and that was sort of an issue for us. But we didn't necessarily, we weren't sure if we wanted to go the full way of saying, you know, how much police involvement should we have down there. And this, at least from my perspective and from what a lot of students are perceiving that, as just going a little bit too far in terms of that way, and we are trying to sort of negate any negative aspects or negative consequences that may come as a result. So we're trying to find that middle ground. And the question for all of us and why we need to have a meeting is this the middle ground? So.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure what the chief police or others might say is, well, enforcement is different than the law, which will be put in the code, which will be put in the campus code of conduct. But we still want to make, you know, we're not the boss of the city police, so we still want to make sure that it's addressed at the legislative level. So, yeah, thank you. Any questions about that for ASA or myself or whatever? Nope. Great.
Well, the Code of Judicial Conduct is under the University Assembly. In essence, we do have a say because myself and Natalie are voting members of the UA. But that being said, our say is pretty much what happens at the meeting. So the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we respond, or the way that students sort of speak up at the meeting will be our say. And we will convince either faculty members, administrators, all the different representations on UA to sort of take our perspective. But I mean, we can sure we can write a resolution, you know, in support or against the what the UA decides to do, but I mean it's really under the UA's purview.
Right. And that's not to say, as you were saying, you know, there's no stopping in us passing a sense of body resolution, which would be a formal response or whatever you might consider it. With the issue, so I'm sure we'll be working with that soon. Okay, it looks like President Scorton just arrived. We'll allow him to settle in, and we'll get going. Good evening, President Scorton. Thank you for coming again. We always appreciate your visits. So we'll go right into this. If you have any opening remarks or any updates.
Helping with in any way, you let me know. And when I speak to alumni, especially with our groups, I talk about this a lot. I talk about the alumni networks that are so helpful in the area of studying that allow many people gain placement. So that's my decision on this time. And I'm very glad to be here with you. And so glad to see you on. But there are other questions you have for me. Some of you were at the UA meeting and have asked me to be here for longer. So you greatly appreciate the community together. There's always room for a lot more. So thanks for having me. And I think the students can always be here, of course. And so we're glad to be here.
Great. Thank you, as always, for being here. The speaker's list is open for anyone that would like to ask a question. DP Miller.
Thanks again for coming, President Gordon. Ryan and I have talked, and our executive board has spoken about a strategic committee perhaps being formed with students regarding further financial decisions. Can you elaborate on the formation of that and where you see it going in the near future?
Yep, it should be. The problem we have to solve on campus, if we did nothing, if we didn't do anything to take action, we would develop quickly into a $200+ million a year problem here in about $13 million a year at medical college in New York City, where I'm going to medical college. So we decided to take some action immediately. And those actions, because they were taken immediately, were not strategic, they were not thought out carefully strategically. They were done in one across the board at 5% budget cuts to the unions, 10% budget cut to my office, 10% budget cut to the provost's office, 10% reduction in my salary, my compensation voluntarily, removal of money from what we call uncommitted fund balance, sort of reserve, we might call the reserve, but they're funds that are invested that are not committed to operating procedures and taking some of those funds and reducing the payout from the endowment that goes to all the units. These were done across the board, so they're really not strategically. That's not a sustainable way of doing business. And one really good example of that is that we're giving no raises to the employees of the university this year. No raises to faculty, no raises to staff, with the exception that I was quite concerned about people at the lowest end of our earning categories, like pay scales, and we're giving them single-time bonuses to those $40,000 a year, much or less. And then we're setting up a hardship fund so that people across the university who have specific problems that are a derivative from not being able to get a raise can get some help from the university. And any of us will be giving money to that fund as well, the university investing in funds. So those are all the things that we're doing right now. Going forward, exactly as you said, that we're going to have to think more strategically, we can sustain that kind of action across the university. So I've asked the provost, who is the person not only in charge of the academic side of the university, but I consider the provost the second in command of everything, sort of the, I don't know what to call it, sometimes I call it the person chief operating officer, I mean, he's that sort of. And I were first working together. And I've asked Provost Boxman's design system to plan the future of the university in a strategic way and to improve the shared governance of the university, undergraduates, graduate professional students, staff, employees, and faculty employees. So the way that will be done, he's still working on it. It will certainly, surely include direct consultation with the UA, the VESA, GPSA, EA, and the USC, all my favorite acronyms. It will also include having some individuals on committees that will be working on specific parts of the plan. And I don't believe that he has that all worked out yet. Just today, we're coming back to the end of the process of preparing to sell these taxable debt, and many things have to be done to get that accomplished. So he's working hard at setting up the insurance. I think maybe you'll have to tell me this, if I remember this correctly, since yesterday, all the way yesterday. But I think last night when he was asked that question directly, the UA, he said something to the effect that the UA and other bodies would be consulted that he wants to put individual people on it, but he wants to keep the committee small enough to be rapidly effective and not to be huge and unwieldy, and that he's still working on how to make that happen. So I don't know if he's consulting with either with you, Ryan, or the incoming leadership of the USA and others, and with the UA, but there will definitely be student input. And one of the points that was made last night, I can't recall if it was or somebody else who brought up, was the idea that there ought to be student input not only in an area directly related to student activities, because students, of course, have a stake in how the whole university is run. If we have more or fewer faculty, that affects your experience. If we have more or less instruction, that affects your experience. And that's the part where Kent has to be careful to be open and representative and share the decision and the opinion, but not to have enormous size committees where every single committee has to have everybody on it, because that would be the whole point of the work done. So he's aware, is that a fair representation of what happened last night?
Yes, it is.
And so I think you can be very comfortable. And what you need to do is, as you always do, stay in top of us about this. There's a couple of weeks to write on here, and drop a note to me into Provost Box. And I can promise you he's working on all these details right now. Student input will be very important in many cases. In terms of the timetable, he's planning to do the planning activities in a couple of phases. The first is on an individual organization to plan this more strategically and how we're going to work with a smaller office. My office is going to be 10% less, period. And so we have to figure out how to do that to keep going forward. And then when that happens, then we can have a broad strategic plan for the whole university, crossing these lines between colleges, crossing lines. Organizational units, and that will go on to the rest of the calendar year, perhaps in the spring a little bit next year.
Thank you very much.
Great. On the topic of strategic finances, if you will, I've been away from campus, away from email, so I'm not sure if you responded to this or your office have responded to this yet. But previous discussions this semester, the student assembly has been brainstorming ways that we can strategically and appropriately control the student activity fee, but also set a standard that is appropriate for our byline funded groups. And the standard that we have unofficially set, it will be sent out to byline funding groups soon, is any byline funding increase from a group is merited only from a decrease in another revenue source. So for example, a group that might have just walked in and has been has had a lot of coverage this semester, the Slope Day Programming Board, they were particularly negatively affected by budget cuts, more than any group I would say on campus. And so the student assembly would use that as an example. We would say that we would increase their allocation to compensate for that, with the notion that we don't want to penalize the quality of programming, but we also don't want to increase the student activity fee inappropriately. We know that the financially covers the student activity fee. So that's our standard. I'm curious if you have any reactions to that. I know traditionally the president of the university has always had input in any standard set, such as this one.
You know, my philosophy, as you might have talked about before, is that I want to be supportive of your governance process and your own decisions. And so it's going to be rare that you will see me second guess decisions that you make. I would say one thing, though, following a very important question you just asked. In thinking forward beyond the year coming up, which I'm saying if you handle as you see that we'll do our best to work with you in that way, in going forward, it's these kinds of detailed, granular issues that we have to talk about as a community. It's a great example of the point was brought up last night, and students wanting to input for things that are not traditionally just in the student envelope. It's a great example of how decision making elsewhere will indirectly affect the use of funds that are commonly controlled by the ESA or subsets of the ESA. So I think it's a great example. One thing you might do is think about a way to cast not the specific issue of Slope Day, but cast the issue of these kinds of decisions in the message you can send to me and/or to Kent Fox, so that you'll be thinking about that particular angle as he goes forward. In terms of my own reaction to it, I'll be generally supportive of your approaches to that and want to work with you. So the underlying strategic issues take into account student concerns. Kent was proposing to give it any other comments.
Well, I think that's altogether appropriate as an approach. You know, I think we all want to work together and plan on, you know, want to keep creating a better program.
Okay, great, thank you. Representative Andrews.
My question falls along the line of degrading, but I was looking on the education side of Cornell. So with the, we're looking to increasing the freshman class next year, increasing the amount of retirement, potentially decreasing the size of TAs and administrative staff or professors. And so I was wondering how the university is looking into the student-teacher ratio and the potential dilution of education at Cornell. You know, is there a tax that, you know, the university won't go above or student-teacher ratio?
It's a huge, very, very, very important issue. What's happening this year in terms of student enrollment, please interrupt me if I get this wrong, because I don't have any information. My understanding in the last several years is that there have been times where the freshman class has risen up to as much as 3150. And we generally expect 305. So the idea this year is to actually let it go to 3150, which is not a big difference from how it's been some time in the past. There's been no commitment anywhere to increase the size of the student body beyond that. In fact, there's a concern about not only the student ratio, but student life, the use of the North Campus and the way that it is, the use of the West Campus, the whole philosophy that has led over the last years to what I hear from students is a better situation for student life on campus. The provost already some weeks ago asked Vice President Murphy and Deputy Provost David Harris to co-chair a task force on enrollment issues to look right away to deeply and carefully at these issues. But to put it in perspective, the increase that we have allowed to happen in current decisions being made is a very, very small increase, almost a minimal increase, although it is an increase. And in terms of the faculty reductions, please remember that for the tenure-track faculty, the vast majority of the faculty, we don't have layoffs or anything like that. And this is still a university that's hiring faculty. We want to make sure that people understand that. For example, I believe this is accurate or possibly accurate. It has changed from week to week as plans are implemented. Engineering faculty, about 200, for example, has a 12 faculty search, 12 faculty line that they can search into, and 6 of them are being searched for, as opposed to 12. So that's a delta of 6, 200. It's important, but it's not a huge change, nor is it only a huge change. Sustainably going forward, there'll have to be areas of the university that will probably remain smaller. There'll be other areas where the provost will want to invest because of areas of focus, areas of student interest, areas of demand for curriculum, and so on, and not only at the graduate level. So anything beyond a very slight tweak that's going on right now will have to be done not only with the normal student input, but with the families. The reason we set the task force up that way is the deputy provost. So I'm very, 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 very sensitive to that. The application rate, as many of you know, for this university is just breathtaking. Last year, the year that I graduated, the current freshman, there were 33,000 plus applications for 3,050 slots. And for next year, we didn't know whether it would actually go up. Some schools, some of the very financial arts colleges in our country, are seeing fewer applications because of financial issues and all kinds of issues. We went up a few percent, 3-4%. We have 34,000 plus applications for the class that will start in August. And so it's really important that whatever we are doing, that the students tell us is working and making this a good experience and that people want to be here. The quality of the faculty, the facilities, the student-teacher ratio, the student life experience, aspects of the North Campus programming, the presence of a wide palette of opportunities for living arrangements, we want to be very, very cautious before we change anything in those areas. It doesn't mean it wouldn't change, but it can be done in a fashion that's precipitous and quite thoughtful. So it's a really critical issue. It's one of three or four issues that are the top of my list of things. One of my issues is tuition. One of my issues is balance of financial aid. One of my issues is the student-teacher ratio balance, and the rest of it has to do with enrollment. One issue has to do with the responsiveness to other student needs, for example, at Connect, and how we're going to meet increasingly and increasingly complex needs within the envelope of the public site a few minutes ago. Those are things, student-related things, are all the number one priority issues. Once again, I'm trying to be as community as possible with campus once a month or so, putting something out in front of me, but also things like I'm trying to make myself available for these kind of meetings. So you just keep asking me if you don't hear more data about it. But it should be possible through Susan, I would say, in your office to keep the SA directly on how the task force is progressing. And maybe I can just let Ryan know the timing of it and so on.
Okay, great. Looks like we have time for one more question, if that's okay.
Sure.
I'll give this to Representative Salem. Would you like to give, we have one left, would you like to give that up? Given the shortness of time, we'll just send the assembly in.
Yeah, so what future projected tuition increases do you see for future fiscal years? What, do you have any idea of what we can do to
remedy this? Yeah, so the question, mine wasn't working great. The question is, what do I foresee for tuition for the future? And this is absolutely another one thing that I think about. I don't know what it'll be, but we have to push for more moderate increases. Even though I'm sure many of you don't see this increases as moderate, they are low, undoubtedly low for 42 years. And there's many people's ideas about how tuition might be calculated. Some people think it should be tightly inflation. Some people think that we should have a target. People have suggested that tuition above a certain amount would be frozen over the life of its own experience. All of those things have been tried at various universities, not all of them, but different ones. And so I can't tell you, we have to have a lot of discussion about this. The two countervailing forces, the one very important force, the one that's on my mind, is not to lose affordability of the school and not to change the nature of the student body to a place where only the very privileged can afford to go, on one hand. On the other hand, the thing that I have to tell you I do think about is that the biggest single revenue source that we have is tuition. And so the effect of whatever decision you make about increasing tuition ripples through the whole system. And so, I wish I could be more explicit. I'm not sure you're trying to hide your decision. No decision of any kind has been made, except that my philosophy that was expressed in this year's result is that we need to moderate the rate of rise of tuition. And the question is, what does that mean to these companies? I think it means we're going to get a little bit more into it. That's a very, very important issue for us to talk about going forward.
Thanks, Ronnie. All right, given the time, it's 6 o'clock.
I appreciate everything.
Thank you again for coming. Always.
If you can come up with questions that people were going to raise, if you didn't have a chance to raise, if you're comfortable writing directly to me, I'll be glad to answer it to the best I can. If you're writing to David.Sport.com, I'm glad to be here. I'll come right to me, and I'm glad to. If you're comfortable doing it, if not, send me a note or grab me on campus or something. But if you want to send me an email, and if you're comfortable with copies to Ryan,
thank you very much,
thank you.
Okay, thank you for all the questions. Moving on to our last item on our agenda, which probably the majority of our audience is here for, we have Mandy Gelming and Patrick Robert Maloney here to provide a Slope Day programming board announcement, report, and update. you guys have, you have as much time as you want. Take it away.
Over the last year, we've been an opportunity to provide universities to give many significant financial challenges across all departments. Associated with the next 5 years, however, in strong support of our campus, we made the obstacle set up. We evaluated our entire budget, including spending on talent, and found a number of creative ways to make our more economic decisions. We particularly like to thank the Cornell competition for the generous financial contributions and the student assemblies that have been before the all this year, we conducted a large survey of Cornell students to review the health of our strong, diverse general audience, speak out performers who will provide the Cornell community with impressive lines of entertainment on May 1st. Over the past several months, we worked with a variety of leaders to find artists who fit well in the book, and we finally reached a conclusion as well. Now, it's just one. I'm proud to announce our first artist, one of the strongest new artists in music industry today, Ashley Long. Originally hailing from Morristown, Michigan, Astrobot is currently riding high and has his first single, I Love Podcast, which has reached the top 15 on Billboard's Top 100 just. His debut album is set for release on April 20th. Ross looks to take the new worldwide tour, with a quick rhyme and things to live inside. The impressive quality of his album is being sustained in the honor of the studio on the cover of another lifestyle magazine as one of their top 10 freshmen. Ross appearance on the floor will offer him an opportunity to experience a live show at some of the hospital's unique voices and a chance to chat with the music's rising star, 4 years of success. The Associate Program Award can think of no better way to celebrate the last year's class than with the word, I love Ross, reverberating in Western Now, as you probably know, the Associate Program Award is proud and excited to welcome the Quincy Jazz Dolls to live school. Since releasing their debut album in 2005, the Dolls have been among the most commercially successful female artists. Blockbuster hits including Doja, Big Two, and Buddy have all been released superstar hits, and speakers at bars, clubs, and charity bases all over the country. In the last 7 months, the senior group has surged to the top of the charts with I Grow Up by James Park and Jai Ho from the film Slum Dog Millionaire. As the first female artist to headline a major musical event at Cornell in 7 years,
all right, I have a round of applause for Slowplay 2009. Thank you tremendously. On behalf of the SA, on behalf of the undergraduate body, if I can do that, I think I can do that. I want to thank you two personally. I want to thank Joe Scofito. Thank everyone on the Soul Day Programming Board and from the Concert Commission for getting this together. You guys had to be very creative this year. You had to overcome a lot of obstacles, and I think you did it tremendously, and we're so fortunate that we have you guys lead this effort. So we think it's going to be a good Soul Day, and we're excited. Thank you again. All right, on that good news, this meeting is adjourned.
We're all going to St. Luke's.
We're all going to St. Luke's, so...
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.